Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, everybody, this is another episode of the Max Living Podcast. I'm Dr. Ryan Berlin. I'm sitting here with my wife, Ashley Berlin. And today we're excited. We're talking about sedentary lifestyles, particularly when it comes to our work environments and how this new phrase that's been coined that's talking about how sitting is the new smoking.
Ooh, wait a second. I'm healthy. I don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, well, the new research coming out says that, and this is The term was actually coined by a gentleman from the University of Arizona Mayo Clinic. His name is Dr. James Levine. This was actually coined a few years ago in 2018, but there's research behind this that shows that essentially the more people sit, the more likely they are to die from a lot of the same things that people die from when they smoke, which are heart disease, cardiovascular disease, et cetera. So The new phrase is sitting is the new smoking. And if you think about sitting at a desk for 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, and how little we actually move when that happens, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting idea, right? Like sitting is something that you think you're like, wait a second, I just got a puppy. I'm trying to teach this dog how to sit, right? And hey, I went through 18 years of school and the most important thing I learned was sit at your desk, sit still, right? I'm like telling my kids, hey, sit, calm down, sit, you know, so many times a day. And I think that we've gotten to this place where we have trained ourselves where we are sitting, we sit all of the time. We go from classroom to home sitting. We go from classroom to your job, your career, and you're sitting throughout that career, right? And so like this idea that we've trained ourselves as a society to sit. And we got to flip the tables over on that and say, absolutely not. We need to be up, moving, active, and getting around.
Yeah, I think we've seen that in children. Like the more they sit, the more we see, you know, attentiveness issues. And I think we've talked about this in the podcast before. I was always the disrupts others, talks excessively in class, kid.
And just I love it.
Innately, I felt like I wanted to be moving around all the time. But right, yeah, it's right. Very unnatural. And if we look at historically, anthropologically, like where we come from, hunter, fisher, gatherer, tent maker, carpenter, you know, whatever that looks like, life was active. Rarely, like other than maybe the cartographers, right. Rarely were they sitting, right? That they right. were, oh, we were up, we were moving around, everything we did. So the sitting thing really has only been probably the last less than 100 years, you right. know, probably around there, maybe 50 to 100 years, somewhere is where now most jobs are, you know, desk oriented jobs, computer oriented jobs. You think about if you go back when I was young, so 40s, you know, years plus ago, computers were like just barely on the seat.
Right.
So
right.
It wasn't like, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe you were sitting there at your desk taking phone calls and writing some things down on a notepad.
Right.
Or you were, you know, sitting there with a typewriter, but most jobs weren't just sitting all the time in front right. of a computer screen. Now, almost every job is sitting in front of a computer screen.
You know, and it's interesting because this discussion progressed naturally, right, from patients coming in and saying, hey, could you help me with my work from home setup? Right.
Yeah.
And,
well, we saw this in 2020 right. where everyone went to work at home. And then all of a sudden we saw patients who had been patients for 10 or 15 years whose spines were relatively stabilized and they were doing really well. They were getting right. adjusted on a maintenance basis. We're coming in with new issues and new problems, new health problems. And then it all related back to their ergonomics. It all related right. back to now they're at home. They're not at a desk that might be set up more ergonomically. They have a little tiny laptop in their lap,
right.
sitting on their bed or couch, right. you know, their head kind of forward. They look like Gollum from from what's it called? The Lord of the Rings, right, Smeagol. Right. They look like Smeagol,
right?
Because they're just all hunched over, or Quasimodo, or whatever. Yeah. And like, no wonder they're having numbness and radiating pain going down their arms. No Absolutely. Wonder their neck's starting to bother them. No wonder they're starting to have more low back problems. So part of it is ergonomically setting up the situation to be favorable, but part of it's just recognizing that we're too sedentary.
Absolutely. And listen, sometimes I had a friend recently who was in the Atlanta airport and had 15 minutes to get from Terminal D to Terminal A, right? And that was when the light bulb moment went off for her. And she's like, holy smokes, like I got to work out more. Like I could barely make it. Like this is a real issue, right? And so I think sometimes there are these moments where they just kind of sneak up on you, you know? And like, and it's an interesting thing about as you progress through life. And I remember being younger and hearing people in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s talk about their glory days and talk about, you know, feats of athleticism when they were younger. And a lot of times as you age, you're still mentally thinking, I'm there. I'm doing that. I could do that, right? One of the most dangerous things when I was a CrossFit owner for me was having an ex-athlete walk into the gym and think they could immediately jump in at the same level that they were at, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when they haven't worked out in a long time. So this is one of those things that when you set yourself up for success on a daily basis, when you acknowledge that, hey, I have to sit at a computer for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So what am I going to do to combat that? Then you can really get yourself in a position, because I'm going to tell you right now, working out for 30 minutes a day isn't going to combat sitting at a computer for 12 hours,
yeah,
sitting at a computer for 8 hours and yeah, then watching TV for another 3 hours. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that you cannot outwork out that much of a sedentary lifestyle. So how do we build it into your life so that on a daily basis, you have a situation in front of you where you're up and active and moving, and you're able to really be active and not be sedentary?
Yeah. So let's go through some of the facts about, you know, sitting and where we're at and, you know, what it leads to. But let's also talk about, if you guys hang with us, we're going to go through some of the things that you could be doing that are going to set you up for success so that you don't fall victim to this. So the facts, you ready? Over 25% of American adults sit for more than 8 hours a day.
Woof.
44% of those people get little, no exercise. So a quarter of us are sitting 8 or more hours a day. That is a lot.
Right.
The average American watches approximately 3 hours of television a day. So they're sitting at work 8 hours a day and then coming home and sitting down and watching TV 3 hours a day. The average American is active less than 20 minutes every day.
Oh, no.
Your Apple Watch will tell you that, right?
Right, right.
60 to 75 minutes of moderate activity, meaning at least steady walking, can counter the effects of all the sitting we do.
That's awesome.
But in a 2011 study, they documented 800,000 people and their sitting habits. And what this study found was that people who sit the most compared to those who sit the least are at a much greater risk of disease and really early death. That 112% increased risk of diabetes from those who sat the most versus those who sat the least.
Wow.
147% increased risk of cardiovascular events like heart attacks and strokes. 90% increased risk of death from a cardiovascular event.
Oof.
And 49% is increased risk of death from any other cause.
That's crazy. And listen, I don't like those odds. I don't like a 90% odds, you know, of death from a cardiovascular event. That's not good. And you know what's interesting? Okay, so we talked about the risk of diabetes being exponentially higher, right? When you sit all day long. And so why is that? And this is an interesting thing here. And it's the ability, your body's ability to dispose of that glucose in the food that you're eating, right? So that glucose accumulates in your blood and it increases your risk of diabetes. And you cannot remove the lipids from the fat in your blood after eating a meal. If you can't, that will put you at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, heart disease, the whole deal. So you have, and your body isn't disposing of that when you're sitting for long periods. You stand up, you move, you have movement in your blood, you can dispose of that glucose properly. The cycle acts like it should, right? But when you're not engaging in the cycle like it should, then those things have no place to go. And that's where the danger and that accumulation happens.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. That's a great explanation. I was going to go into a little bit of, you know, the science behind it too. A little different. Blood flow slows down when you're sitting.
Yes.
This allows those fatty acids that you were talking about to build up in your blood vessels, right? So sitting for extended periods of time regularly leads to, like you said, insulin resistance. And in a 2018 study, they found that 82% of people who suffer from blood clots sat for a significantly greater amount of time than the remaining 18%.
Right.
So all the blood clots that we're seeing are as a result, or a big part of it, as a result of people in sedentary lifestyles. Now, there's another reason why people are having blood clots right now.
Right.
And we won't, you know, dive into that one and go down the rabbit hole, but there is this sudden thing that happened roughly around, you know, 2021, where people started, you know, dying of blood clots.
Right.
But again, you want to combat that even? Get up and get moving.
Right.
That healthy people don't develop, you know, blood clots. Healthy people who exercise regularly, who move around and don't sit for 8 hours a day, typically don't develop lots of blood clots. Now, there may be another predisposing factor to why people are developing them now, but guess who it's going to affect first? People who are more sedentary.
Right.
So if you're tracking with what I'm saying, you know that we're talking about something different, but
hey,
what's the solution to this? So we'll go through, you know, some of the solutions to sitting, but then we'll talk about what should your workspace look like? What can you do? What is a max living workspace look like?
Right. And if you walk into our office, it's one thing right off the bat that you'll see right away is that our entire chiropractic assistant team, from our office manager to every single person that's working in our clinic, has a standing desk.
Yep. Everybody has a standing desk. Our front office team and our doctors do not sit ever, even if they're in front of a computer.
Right.
They all are in standing positions.
And even the folks in the back offices all have standing desks that they can raise and then they can elevate in their back offices so that they're not sitting for long periods of time.
We bought one. You know, these are called risers. They're desk risers. So they're usually hydraulically or spring loaded. They have some levers on them and you can raise up your entire desk situation from a seated to a standing position. You can find them as easy as going on Amazon.
Right.
They're excellent. What I like about these is also if two different people are at a workstation, you can set the height that accommodates a taller person versus a shorter person. So if you have somebody who's like 5'6", and then somebody comes up to that same computer, like myself, who's 6'2", I can grab the two levers and lift it up. Because one of the things is when you're working in front of a computer, this has nothing to do with sitting really, but your monitor should be in front of you. And you should be looking directly ahead. If you stared straight ahead, you should be looking at about the bottom third of your monitor.
Yep.
Now, obviously, laptops like we're working on right now are not ideal for that.
Right.
So you want to raise those up. We have risers at home for our laptops. But if you're working at a computer where you're looking at for extended periods of time, you want to be looking at the bottom third of your monitor so that your chin is always like parallel to the floor or slightly higher.
Right.
So that you're restoring, keeping your neck curve protected because that's your arc of life to every single organ in your body. Here's another thing that, why is a standing desk better? When you're laying down on your bed, like zero gravity, right? We tell people when they're getting adjusted to lay down and give their spine a break. But when you're standing, your spine is under twice the load of when you're laying down.
Yep.
Right? Because of gravity. But when you're sitting, it almost doubles again. So your spine is under significantly more load when you're sitting than when you're standing because you just took out your knees, your hips.
You took your legs out.
Yeah, I took the legs out of the equation. Right. So all of that load that was distributed amongst your legs is now directly on your back and particularly on your lower back. So a standing scenario just immediately takes some of the load off your spine.
And it's even interesting because we talk about that in weightlifting, right? That a lot of the power that you hold in your body comes from your hips, right?
Yep.
And so there's even something there where like when, and you know that if you've ever lifted weights, if you've ever bent down and risen up, like, you know that your hips are so powerful. And so when you sit, it definitely we're taking half of that body off the equation and we're doubling that load.
Yeah. It can lead to a lot of things. Like people will end up with, particularly if you sit on one butt cheek more than the other, ladies, you know, when you're crossing your legs and you're shifting and sitting on one butt cheek.
Yes.
Guys do it too. Guys, they might not be shifting and sitting on one cheek, but they frequently will have a wallet in their back pocket on one side. And so imagine what that's doing to your hip, right? It's shifting your entire hip structure. And that can lead to problems like sciatica and problems like lower back issues and problems like sacroiliitis. Same thing, ladies, when you're sitting cross-legged and you're sitting on one cheek more than the other, that can lead to that same thing. So when you're sitting, if you are sitting, sit straight. Ladies, cross your legs at your ankles.
Yep.
Men, get your George Costanza wallet out of your back pocket.
Right, right.
And make sure you're not sitting directly on that. So now if you are sitting, what's something you can do?
Okay, awesome. So if you're sitting every 5 minutes or every hour, take about 5 minutes out of that hour and have a standing activity. So like whatever you're doing, if you are required to be, you can't have an elevated desk, you know, whatever's going on, you notice that you've been sitting for an hour, set an alarm on your phone for every hour and take 5 minutes and just go walk around. Fold some laundry, walk the dog, take out the trash, whatever you need to do, walk down to the mailbox and grab the mail. Make sure that you're incorporating, you know, the worst thing you could do would be take standing activities and make them seated, right? Chopping vegetables, don't pull in a chair and sit down and do it, right? Folding laundry, stand up, like challenge yourself to stand up and fold that laundry. Don't take a scooter down to the mail, you know, to the mailbox to go grab the mail. Make those standing activities that you're going to continue to stand through, and then even challenge yourself more every single hour. Take 5 minutes, go walk around. Take we have an activity in our house. We homeschool on certain days of the week. 3 days of the week they're in school, and then 2 days of the week we're at home homeschooling. And we have a challenge where, you know, we'll go and we'll run 10 laps around the house once every hour. Yep. And it's just to get the blood moving, get it flowing. You think you don't want to do it in 0 degree weather, but it turns out you actually do. I mean, it's one of the most fun things that you can do. And you just get out there and you run around and take some laps.
Yeah. One of the key components there is making sure, because like we all get buried in work, right? So setting that alarm, there's actually apps that you can use. You probably have one on your Apple Watch. I don't have an Apple Watch, but I imagine there's something on there. You can set an alert that will warn you about your activity, or at least set an alarm so that every hour you can take 5 minutes and do that. Number two, watching your posture.
Yes.
So, you know, when you are sitting, again, are you sitting on one cheek with your legs crossed, and are you turned at a weird angle looking at a computer on one side and your hands are kind of on the keyboard at the other side? Are you slumped forward with your head buried into the computer, you know, into a laptop? Are you sitting upright so you're looking straight ahead at the bottom third of your monitor? Like, what's your posture? Because that can play a huge role. If you're sitting in really terrible posture, that can take a larger effect. We already talked about a stand-up desk, and then every single day committing to doing something active, like at lunch,
right?
Going for that walk,
right?
On the way into work, taking the furthest parking spot, not the closest.
Oh, that's a challenge, right? Because everybody feels like they want to win and they want to get the closest parking spot, but reverse that, right? And you win when you get the furthest away parking spot and you have to walk all the way in. And
yeah,
all the
because
way back
if
out.
If this is true and there's 112% increase in diabetes, 147% increase risk of cardiovascular events, you win when you get more activity.
Right. Right.
You lose when you get less, you know, activity and you're more sedentary. So park closer, get up there sooner and start sitting more, or get in more activity, walk across the parking lot, go for a walk at lunch, take the stairs instead of the elevator when you get to the office.
Right.
You know, there's an old saying that said a man's health is judged by what he takes two at a time, pills or stairs.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's the general idea, is that we're just figuring out how to move when we're not moving, or figuring out how to move when we can be. Because there are times where we're not moving and we're more sedentary.
No, there is some proven studies to show that walking around, at taking even a short 10-minute walk after lunch, is going to really help you in your glucose levels and getting that blood moving and everything that your body's trying to do after you've eaten, reducing that risk of type 2 diabetes, taking a walk after you eat. And here's one of my final little strategies and tips. And this one revolves around, like, if you're going to choose to watch TV, to partake in, you know, an episode of something, or, I mean, you know, God forbid it's like actually binge watching 3, 4, 5 hours of something straight. But there's a few things that we do in that situation. And one of them is, I know that if I'm going to indulge in a program, I'm going to go get on the Peloton and do it. I'm going to jump on the sedentary bike. I'm going to jump on the treadmill. I'm going to say, listen, if I'm going to do this, then at least I'm also going to sit here and I'm going to take a walk while I'm doing it. Just something to have a little bit more engagement so that I don't feel like I'm an actual potato sitting there. And I know couch potato is an old term, but like really, like you just feel like a bump on the log when you do it. And there is something a little bit energizing about going on that walk while you're doing it. The other thing, if you're not going to get on a treadmill or a bike or something like that, there's a lot of people that during the ads, during any commercial breaks, and you might be watching programs that don't have commercial breaks anymore, which is, isn't that a lovely gift to all of us that we don't have to sit through those. But if you do, getting up and doing something, having some movement, doing some squats, doing some pushups, doing some sit-ups during that time, a great time to take a break from that. Last night, in fact, I let the kiddos have a 30 minutes of TV time after they got all their homework done. We were decompressing a little bit and a little bit of a reward there. And my youngest daughter pulls out a yoga mat and does a full yoga routine while they're watching their program. And we were just having a ball doing it. She was having me join her, having a ton of fun doing it. But it was one of those things where I realized while she was doing it, and she was really speaking to, we had just come from a Max Living seminar that past weekend, and she was speaking to the energy in that room, the crowd that she was surrounded with. She really respects and admires her female gym teacher at school. And she, shout out to Miss Boone, who's out there really working hard and showing these kids, you know, what hard work looks like and what physical activity looks like. And Miss Boone had suggested to them, hey, go home. If you're going to watch TV, do some yoga in front of it. And Eliana knocked out of the park, and we had a lot of fun with it.
That's awesome. I just Googled this because I didn't know what they were called, but I just had a patient tell me last week they were getting one of these. By the way, this patient that told me this is like 85 years old, and she has all these great lifestyle habits. She has, we have vibration, whole body vibration platforms in the office that we use for neuromuscular reeducation and strengthening your postural muscles around your corrections, you know, your chiropractic adjustments. She has a whole body vibration machine at her house that she gets on, and she says she gets on there and she walks in place on it while watching TV.
It's so good.
But she also just bought so it's a pedal exerciser. They make elliptical exercisers too, and they can go under your desk, and you can literally be, because you made me think of this when you said the Peloton. My favorite place to watch something is on the Peloton.
Right.
I don't really enjoy watching a lot of TV, but when I'm on the Peloton, I don't always enjoy, you know, going at it hardcore, high intensity interval training. Part of my morning routine is I like to get up, get on the Peloton and just pedal for like 30 minutes at like a 50 resistance, which gets me sweating, but it gets boring sometimes. So that's where if somebody sent me something to watch, or there's a documentary or something like that, that's where I put in my headphones. I prop my phone up on the Peloton tray right there, and I start pedaling and just watching something there. So I enjoy that. Well, that being said, they actually make things that go under your desk. You don't have to buy a $1,200 Peloton or $2,500 Peloton, whatever. You can actually buy these. They're called pedal exercisers. There's also elliptical style exercisers if you're on a standing desk. They're small, they're compact, they go right underneath your desk, or stand up, at your standing desk, and literally you can pedal and you can track how many calories you're burning. You can track how long you've been pedaling for. There's a little ergometer on there that shows you the work you've been doing. I thought that was kind of cool.
No, that's really cool.
If you want to go old school and you don't want to spend, these things range from $50 up to $250. If you don't want to do that, the recommendations that we've always made in Max Living is a wobble cushion.
Yeah.
So getting they're called balance discs. We call them wobble cushions because we hyperinflate them. So if you've seen them in the stores, they're kind of flat, they're disc shaped. But if you see them in a Max Living office, they're hyperinflated and they're kind of round. Some people call them their wobble ball. But we have you sit on those, and the three exercises you want to do are forward bending and then the opposite, which would be extension.
Right.
You want to laterally bend right and left, and then you want to rotate your trunk right and left. And the reason you do that, that's all the three ranges of motion that your spine goes through, the three axes. So it's the X, Y, and Z axis that your spine moves in. And the research has shown that when people do this, and they do it every single day, and they get in repetitions, like 100 repetitions would only take you a few minutes.
Right.
When people get to the point where they've done thousands, tens of thousands, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 repetitions, they actually, there's some research that showed that they actually start seeing reverse effects of disc degeneration.
Amazing.
That you're actually pumping those discs. You're bringing blood flow towards the spine, which is good. You're actually using your discs in your spine. And contrary to popular belief, discs aren't usually injured by using them or necessarily being in a bad position. They're more injured by inactivity. Right. Inactivity and sitting, more disc degeneration happens from inactivity than activity. Your spine loves movement, movement. And so when you're getting these wobble chair exercises in, full big ranges of motion, you're actually hydrating those discs in the spine. It's a process called imbibition, by which those discs are actually pulling water in, because when you use the disc, it changes the hydrostatic pressure and it attracts fluid into the disc. And that disc becomes more full, and a fuller disc is a healthier disc, and a fuller disc protects your nerves better.
Right.
So that's one thing you can do. Another thing we have our patients do when they have a home care kit from a Max Living office is you have a bidirectional traction device that is actually used for full spinal traction. It helps you to increase the curvatures in your neck, mid back, and low back when you use it properly. And you can hang this over your door and do spinal traction.
Right, right.
I went over to a family's house a few years ago to adjust them. And they were getting ready to go out of town. They weren't going to make it into the office. They weren't feeling well. So I made a house call. Four children plus mom and dad, they're all patients. And went into their home office. What two things I see in their home office? Their wobbled cushion sitting on the office chair, and the neck traction hanging over the door, because dad had been working from home at that point. And he said every hour on the hour, he would get up and he would do his neck traction, and he would do 40 to 60 repetitions of it. And then he would walk over to the wobble cushion and he would do another 40 to 60 repetitions. And then he would go back to work.
So good.
And just taking that little break can be so, so, so helpful for keeping your spine healthy and functioning.
And it's so important to put that stuff where you're going to use it. For you, it might not be your home office. That might be the place where, you know, stacks of paper and books go to die, so to speak. And so that might not be it. It might be your bath, you know, it might be slinging over your bathroom door because you spend a lot of time going in and out of your bedroom during the day, right? It might be putting your wobble cushion right at your dining room table so that, you know, maybe you sit around your kitchen table and you guys do work. And so maybe it's passing that wobble cushion around amongst all of the kids while they're doing work, or before dinner or after dinner.
They're cheap. Having one in every kid's room.
Having one in every kid's worth. Absolutely. I personally keep my head weights right down in our kitchen area because I like to, keep the wobble cushion down there. I keep the traction unit right by the pantry door. I spend a lot of time in that kitchen and that living room area. So for me, the best setup possible is slinging my traction unit over my pantry door, being able to do those reps, and then walking around in that kitchen while I'm getting stuff ready for the kids with my head weights on in the morning. And it just sets me up for success because I know where it is and I do it every single day. So wherever that place for you is going to be that you spend the most concentrated amount of time, that you know when you take those short 5 minute breaks, the 5 minute break shouldn't turn into a 25 minute break, right? Like a 25 minute break every hour isn't probably the best idea for when you're trying to get work done. But whatever is going to set you up for success, that's where it should go.
I want to close with one thing, and that is, and everything that we've read in researching this today on sitting is the new smoking. They talked about blood glucose levels. They talked about clotting. They talked about your blood pressure changing when you're sitting and all these different things. They didn't mention your nervous system a whole lot. And it's because I think there's such a lack of understanding in the medical field that they don't even pay attention to the nervous system until it's, until your spine's so degenerative that they're putting screws in it or cutting parts away. They don't look at your nervous system till it's diseased, but your nervous system is your lifeline to your body, and spinal degeneration directly interferes with your nervous system's ability to function well. And there's no way you can have a healthy spine or nervous system when you're sitting for 8 hours a day and you're not getting adjusted.
Right.
So if you're not a patient under chiropractic care, consider that alone is reason enough to be under chiropractic care. There was a study done in the early 1900s called the Windsor autopsies, where they showed a direct correlation between these autopsies and people dying of like heart disease and liver disease and all this, and the areas in their spine that controlled those organs. So they showed that like when people died of heart disease, they always had degeneration in the area of the spine that sent nerves to the heart.
Right.
That heart disease doesn't develop out of nowhere. And heart disease doesn't develop usually due to a bad heart. It develops due to bad healing.
Right.
And your nervous system regulates that healing, and your spine protects your nervous system. So why do these people suffer diabetes? Why do they suffer heart disease? Because their spine is degenerating, not just because they're not moving, but your spine loves movement. So number one, get up, get moving. Number two, get your spine checked, start getting adjusted. Number three, start thinking about your ergonomics, getting a standing desk, putting something underneath your desk so you can keep moving. Whatever it is, start looking into, you know, what do you do when you're sitting, or how to avoid that sitting altogether.
Let's go. Such a good episode.
Awesome. Until next week, this has been another episode of the Max Living Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.